University standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Who's the greatest unicorn you've ever seen in person? 713-780-3776. Where do you think Shohei Ohtani is going to go down as greatest baseball player ever?
Number one. Numero uno.
People are saying that. I heard Buster Olney with Rich early today. He said he was the greatest baseball player ever.
The Sports Illustrated saying it?
Well, is this a Becky Lynch take?
I can't put him ahead of Barry. Can't do it. Won't do it.
Did Barry ever strike out 10 in an ALCS game? Or NLCS game?
Barry Bonds on steroids, I think, will be the greatest baseball player
okay.
that ever lived.
What if you gave Ohtani steroids, though?
Oh, my. We do know he's into shady activity.
Exactly.
In fact, I was watching something on. We're gonna play it tomorrow. I found something. I didn't find it. My TikTok's been blowing up with this bookie guy who took Shohei's bets or Ipe's bets.
Oh, you've been watching a lot of it.
Yeah, I'm gonna play some of it tomorrow. That way, I'm not doing it justice when I talk about it. So I'll get it for tomorrow. But yeah, I think he's gonna be second. I think he'll be second behind Barry. But I mean, he's a freak show.
It's just hard with the pitching that if he continues to pitch in his career,
he hasn't logged that many innings though.
No, I know, but he does. But he does do it at a, I wouldn't say elite level, but a very good level. It adds to what he does offensively.
No, yeah, he's a freak. Thurman Thomas went to Willridge. My bad. I said Milby. Willridge is absolutely right. Now that you said that. 713-780-3776. Out to the HRMP listener line. James, who's your unicorn?
Man, believe it or not, I don't know if this qualifies, but I'm going to say Craig Biggio.
Okay.
Seeing his last game at Minute Maid, and it was insane. They played him at every position. After the game, he probably run 2 or 3 miles around the inside of that stadium, shaking hands, signing autographs, et cetera. Just a phenomenal baseball player. Seen him several times over his career, but that was one that stood out.
Appreciate it, James.
Thank you, guys.
Biggio is my favorite player growing up, so he's always going to have a special place in my heart.
Well, I think it makes a lot of sense, especially like when with the fact that you had to see the player in person, like that one makes a lot of sense for people in Houston.
Yeah. I have no it wouldn't be top of my list, but I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, 3,000 hits, first one to 3,000 hits in Astro franchise history, and I love the guy. All right, 713-780-3776, back out to the HRMP listener line. Matt, who's your unicorn?
Yeah, I've got two. So, first of all, I was at that game. Jamal Charles played mid-league at Memorial, and also saw Vince Young in high school. Both were out of this world. But I want to bring up a guy named Roschon Johnson, the backup running back in Chicago in high school. He played quarterback, threw for 8,000 yards, ran for 5,000. He was a local guy here. I think Fortunatus Groves. And then the other one's Michael Jordan.
Ooh, Jordan's a good call.
Yeah.
Jordan's a good call. Roschon had some insane high school numbers. I do know that. 713-780-3776. Kobe, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. Who's your unicorn?
Man, you want to talk about someone that was head and shoulders above all the competition in 4A in the early 2000s. Ricky Seals-Jones was someone that was just absolutely phenomenal. He could catch the ball out of the backfield. He could play tight end. He could play quarterback. Goes on to A&M and just, he kind of gets hurt and he plays real good at A&M and then gets drafted. And I played against him and he was just lights out. He was amazing.
You play against him in football or basketball?
Football and basketball.
What did he do to you?
let's just say it wasn't good. All 3 and 4 years, it was phenomenal. What an athlete he was at the 4A level.
Appreciate you, Kobe. Kobe was getting BTA from Ricky Seals-Jones.
This like makes me sad that I didn't grow up in Texas.
Yeah, you got little like Joe Georges running around.
Like the only
who's your best prep athlete, Illinois?
The one that I played against?
Yeah.
CJ Fedorowicz.
CJ, we're talking about the all-time like athletes of the world. He's going CJ Fedorowicz.
Now, CJ did
back up tight end.
CJ did have scholarships, full ride scholarships for football, basketball, track, and baseball coming out of high school. But yeah, CJ's best. Like
a lot of athletes.
He's the only one. That, like,
obviously, he's a good athlete.
Like he's like the only one. Like we played like the highest level of high school football in Illinois my last year, and we made the playoffs. Like we didn't play nobody. it's a different game.
Texas, I mean, especially Houston. I mean, all Texas.
Got to, for a couple of years, film for High School Sports Live. You know, Andrew Luck, Andy Dalton, Jaquizz Rodgers, which it was unbelievable. Another one I didn't think of till just now. But seeing Brittany Griner play high school basketball was unbelievable.
I went to one of her games.
She was, even at the pro level, she's so much bigger than everyone else. But seeing her against high school kids, a bunch of 5'10 kids running around trying to stop Brittany Griner, it was unbelievable.
And she's dunking.
Yes.
That's a great answer, too.
She was unbelievable.
I went to one of her games to watch the greatness of Brittany Griner, and she was insane. And then I was actually doing women's basketball. U of H women made the tournament, I want to say 2014, 15? And they played in the regional where Baylor was hosting. It was an 8-9 matchup. I can't remember if Houston was the 8 or 9, but they lost to West Virginia. They would have played Baylor as a 1 seed against Brittany Griner. But I watched the Baylor Bears play ahead of our game. And I mean, she was something else. Shout out Nimitz High School. They produce a lot of great athletes there at Nimitz High School. Shout out old 21-5A and Thorne Stadium, had the best turkey legs in the game. Speaking of 21-5A, Uncle Jack says Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods.
Okay.
As the unicorns of the sport. Which, yeah, I mean, they were both
obviously
insane.
That's one of those, like, I wish I could have seen them perform in person.
I don't think I ever saw Tiger. I never saw Jack. But Tiger did play in Houston on a couple of occasions at the, what was that golf course called? Champions? I think it's called Champions. I can't remember if it was the Tour Championship. They played at Champions? I think that's right. But I never got out there to see him. And I don't think he ever played in the Houston Open. That was beneath him. I'm still mad at Tiger, though, for never giving us the chase at Jack because of all his injuries and such. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRNP listener line. Brandon, who's your unicorn, Brandon?
Hey, guys. I've heard a lot of 409 submissions in here. And back in 2013, there was a quarterback middle linebacker that played for Vider High School that won our Willie Ray Smith Award down here for both sides, offense and defense. I think he had over 1,800 rushing yards and 33 total touchdowns, over 100 solo tackles, and 4 interceptions. So that's my unicorn.
Dang. Sounds like a dude there.
Did we get a name there?
My junior year of high school, we played Brazoswood at the Astrodome, game one of a 3-game series. And Brad Lincoln, who was, you know, later pitched in the bigs and went to U of H and was like the National College Player of the Year, won the Golden Spikes Award. He beat us. He was pitching. We played 7 innings in high school, obviously. Complete game shutout. He beat us 1-0. The one run came off a solo home run by Brad Lincoln. So he beat us 1-0. He had a solo homer and pitched a complete game shutout. Brad
Lincoln literally won the game by
single-handedly beat the humble Wildcats, led by they were managed by a guy who has a checkered past. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRP listener line. Kyle, who's your unicorn?
How's it going, gentlemen?
Good.
Not necessarily a unicorn player, but a unicorn game. I was at the game between Texas Tech and Oklahoma when you had Baker Mayfield playing for OU and Patrick Mahomes playing for Texas Tech.
Oh, that's a good one. I mean, that's one of like the best games you could ever see in person.
Yeah, it is.
Unbelievable. I was just graduated, so I was in the student section and was right there in the end zone when Patrick Mahomes tied the record for the passing record. Lo and behold, both quarterbacks that have that record both lost the game, ironically enough.
Appreciate it. Yeah, that's it's funny, too, because Baker transferred. I mean, Baker left. Mm-hmm. Left. I saw Homer Bailey pitch as a senior in high school in 2005, was 98 consistently all game with an 88-mile-per-hour slider. I got a base hit off of Jay Bruce. I was a senior. He was a sophomore, and he never pitched again. Ocho, I saw Carmelo Anthony and Oak Hill Academy play against Kendrick Perkins and Beaumont Ozen in a national high school basketball tournament at the Aldine Campbell Center. I saw Brandon Jennings play at one of those prep schools in that same tournament, but I can't remember what it was called. I remember when Jeremy played in the Humble High School toilet his junior year and lost in a hard-fought swirly battle. I was never given a swirly. I was stuffed in a locker. Get it right. 713-780-3776. Manziel at A&M. He was a freak. Mm-hmm. Someone said RG3 at Baylor. He was a freak. Ben Gay from Spring High School. 21-5A football, baby. I saw Ben Gay play. Ben Gay was fantastic, but was he better than Leo Mills? I'm not sure he was better than Leo Mills. 713-780-3776. Somebody says Wimby. Wimby is a freak. Like, he's a guy who has handles that can you know, play on the perimeter.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him. Yell. I haven't seen him play in person yet.
Yeah, I haven't either.
That's also what I realized as we were doing this. Like, man, I never saw LeBron. Never seen LeBron play in person.
I guess I haven't either.
Or Kobe. Like, I miss Kobe.
Yeah, I don't think
Jordan.
I have either.
Miss LeBron.
I saw Jordan play in person at the Summit.
Yeah.
When I was young.
Jealous.
I saw Steph Curry play at the Toyota Center when the Harden was there. Yeah. Yeah. I went to Nimitz with Brittany Griner and got dunked on in a pickup game by her. A lot of other junkies have a lot of other things to say about Brittany Griner that I'm not going to be saying on the radio, you jerks. Johnson from P&G was overrated. Oh, wow. Underrated, but Roy Oswalt, says my buddy Frank at Reagan High. I'm sure he was awesome. Went to high school with De'Aaron Fox, number one later in Texas, number two in the nation. He was really good. Brandon Aubrey's a good one. Someone said Brandon Aubrey, kind of outside the box.
As a soccer player?
As a place kicker. I mean, he's doing things that have never been done.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
Now, the balls might be juiced, though.
Yeah, that's where it's like I'm a little hesitant. Yeah. But even last year, he was pretty good.
I mean, pretty good. He's dominant. Really good. Eric says Chris Johnson. I saw Adam Dunn play quarterback at New Caney High School. Yeah, but I saw him play beer league softball at the Kingwood softball fields. Have you done that, Ocho? 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRP listener line. Greg, who's your unicorn?
I got Kyler Murray.
Okay. Kyler Murray's the greatest athlete currently walking planet Earth.
I can't believe you haven't
active
said that
player. Yet. Yeah, I just don't think he's that good.
Exactly.
appreciate it. Yeah.
He was.
I mean, at what?
In high school football.
I never saw him play high school football.
Oh, I kind of figured you would have.
No, I didn't see him play high school football. I saw RG3 at Copperas Cove play high school football, but he didn't blow up really. Like, he was obviously very good, but he was nowhere in the ballpark of Vince Young. You know who was better than all of them? Well, he wasn't better than Vince, but Odell James and Mark Arthur. Don't forget about little Odell. 713-780-3776. Brandon, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. Who's your unicorn?
Hey, from Fort Arthur, Texas. I got Steve Jackson, Fort Arthur Lincoln. Best basketball player in the state at that time. I think
within the mid-90s. Okay, good call. Appreciate it. I'm not familiar with his game. I'll be honest with you. That's not one that I know. But I'll take your word for it. Junkie, the Houston natives know Sam McGuffey, the OG hurdler, Cy Fair High School.
Steven Jackson?
Yeah. Oh, the running back?
No.
Oh, the basketball player.
Yeah, the basketball player.
Oh.
Yeah, he just called him Steve.
Okay, that confused me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that did confuse me a lot, actually. I was like, Steve Jackson?
Yeah.
Okay, Steven Jackson. That makes a lot of sense. Do you know the first ever football game I broadcasted was Andrew Luck versus Sam McGuffey?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sam McGuffey YouTube highlights.
Yeah, but he got hurt in this game and wasn't the same as senior year. Like, all of Sam McGuffey's stuff
that
was his
game.
No, it wasn't the hurdle game.
Okay.
He was already Sam McGuffey. Sam McGuffey became Sam McGuffey like sophomore, junior year. I want to say the hurdle was his junior year. His senior year was actually underwhelming because he got hurt and didn't have the year that people thought he'd have. But still got recruited
to Michigan scholarship transferred to Rice later.
First game ever was Andrew Luck and Sam McGuffey at Tully Stadium, the granddaddy of them all. Saw couples at the Masters when he ball was the unicorn and stay up on 12. I don't know what you mean. Freddie Couples, go Cougs, baby. Humble brag, played with Brunson Bergen at 5A State for golf, and he shot a 61. Oh, my goodness. Then he played at A&M and won the Natty. I'm not familiar with Brunson Bergen. I guess he didn't make it in the bigs. Unicorn, the sweetest swing in baseball, Ken Griffey, played against Andy Dalton at Cinco Ranch. Was he a great high school player, though? Because Katie ran the ball a lot. Like, I don't know how great Andy Dalton was in high school.
I saw him one time filming, and he looked really good. But I would say, like, having also seen Andrew Luck and Derek Carr in high school, I thought Andy Dalton was behind them.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was good. I didn't think he was special.
He wasn't really in an offense that, like, was able to – like, he wasn't able to go nuts.
Right,
like,
right.
Luck was up there, too. Luck was incredible in high school. He could run a little bit. Like, he was unbelievable. He was a man amongst boys for sure. 713-780-3776. The Junkies went away. We'll do one more segment on this. Who is the biggest unicorn you've ever seen in person in honor of Shohei Ohtani? Shohei Ohtani. Oh, you guys aren't talking. No, we are. We're talking unicorns. We're talking the greatest unicorns of all time because Shohei Ohtani is one of those guys. He is one of those dudes. He's one of the greatest unicorns ever. So who is your unicorn? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Lots of basketball action tonight. Gotta love it. Got a little NBC action, too, by the way. I like their production. Fast breaks, buzzer beaters, block parties, they're back. And Underdog is the best place to get in on all the fun, all basketball season long, and Texas is the best place to play on Underdog. It is so easy. It is so much fun. Just pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like points, rebounds, steals, and much, much more. And if you get your picks right, you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. You enter promo code KILLERB, you're going to score $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries when you play your first $5. What are you waiting for? It's $5. Like, download the Underdog app right now. $5. They're going to give you promo boost. They're going to give you free plays. They're going to give you $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries. What are you waiting for? I mean, it's $5. $5, you get $100 to play around with. So go ahead, download that Underdog app right now. Knicks-Bucks, little primetime game coming up tonight. Marquee game on the marquee. What do you think about this one? Giannis, 30.5 points. You like the higher or lower there? Jalen Brunson, 27.5 points. You like higher or lower there? This isn't a trick question. It's yes, no. It's higher, lower. It's simple. And $5 turns into 100. So download the Underdog app right now. Sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries when you play your first measly $5. $5 turns into 100. What are you waiting for? Promo code KILLERB, KILLERB.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms underscore DFS underscore .html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5.
YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN.
Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You know they call me, Joe.
Jay Brizzler?
Some do, yeah. That's my influencer name, the Jay Brizzler. Unicorn Talk, Prodigal Vault on Twitter. I've seen college era Drew Brees in the Astrodome. Drew Brees and Purdue played at the Dome? That doesn't add up.
Maybe a bowl game?
At the Dome? I mean, when did Brees play college? I mean, that wouldn't have been NRG at the time?
I think his rookie year was 03.
NRG was May. It was early 2000s.
Oh, NRG was 2002. That was their first season.
He got Brees got drafted in 2001.
He played at a bowl game in the Dome?
He could have, yeah.
Probably.
That's crazy.
I mean, I don't know. I don't remember about bowl games, but I know the rodeo went through, you know, the start of when the energy opened up. Like, they were doing rodeos there even after the Astros left, like in 2000 and 2001. So maybe they did bowl games there also.
My bad if you're right, Prodigal. I didn't realize that. Saw Ohtani hit for the cycle last year. That is pretty cool. Daniel on Twitter says Josh Beckett in high school. That's a great call. I never saw him play in high school, but I do know that he hit my friend Patrick Davis in the elbow with a fastball.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he got him. He got him.
Anyone get revenge?
I don't think so. No, they're probably scared.
Soft.
The best baseball player I've ever seen in person was probably Steven Strasburg at San Diego State.
Okay.
We played them his senior year whenever he won all the awards. He was nasty. So good. And then he won every award, first pick of the draft. His manager was Tony Gwynn at San Diego State. 713-780-3776. Out to the HRNP listener line. Steve Square. Who's your unicorn, Steve Square?
Hey, I'm from the 409. The most recruited person I saw in all sports was Hartley Dykes from Bay City Black Cats.
Okay.
He was Dez Bryant before Dez Bryant. 6'4", 218.
Nice. Appreciate that, Steve Square. I have to get educated on that. Okay. Gary Gilbert says a junkie. Lake Travis. I never saw him. Air McNair at Alcorn State. Never saw him in person, but that's a great one. Like, that was it. Like, he was in the Heisman race at Alcorn State and
He's then went
third in the draft?
Yeah.
I loved Steve McNair. Steve McNair was probably my favorite football player growing up.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he was an Oiler for a brief period of time.
Sure.
And I did follow my fandom with the Titans for a brief period.
Okay.
Until that era of Oiler football died is when I left. And this was obviously Houston didn't have a team yet. But I liked the Titans until Steve McNair and Eddie George were gone. I love McNair and I loved Eddie George.
I had an Eddie George jersey.
They were my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Lester says somebody, John Lester, That's your unicorn?
At least they saw through a no-hitter.
I coach Adrian Peterson, and he could have went pro after senior year in high school. Drew Brees played high school in Houston, in Texas. I know he played high school in Texas, but the guy said a bowl game at the Dome, and we have to see him in person. Not reading that one. 5171, Terrell Bernard at LaPorte. Go Dogs. Okay, a little LaPorte love. VY in high school, Carl Crawford in high school was a man-child. Never saw him play live, but I can imagine. Let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Al, who's your unicorn?
Hey, guys. I hopped on a little late. I don't know if anybody mentioned Cheryl Swoops or not. But I kind of gave him a reverse unicorn, man. I can't imagine how dominant she was in high school at a smaller school, but her younger brother, Brandon, who I played against, not a unicorn, man. So just thought that was kind of interesting.
Appreciate it, Al.
Shot at Brandon Swoops?
Is that what he said?
I think so.
Cheryl Swoops was unbelievable. I remember watching her on TV when she won the national championship at Tech, but I never saw her in person. Jalen Waddle says a junkie. Bo Jackson saw him play against the Angels. See, is Bo Jackson in football or baseball the bigger unicorn?
Probably football, I would imagine.
I think so. I think so, too. Junkie, you're forgetting about Frank Wycheck and Curse for the Titans. Curse was a stud, but he was best year was his rookie year out of Florida, I believe. Wycheck was unbelievable. The Wycheck is no longer with us. Rest in peace. He also was supposed to come on the air with us once and stood us up.
I like that you said the rest of peace part first.
Cedric Benson
followed it up
for Midland Lee.
I feel like we're
Cedric Benson's a good call.
I feel like we're remiss in not saying J.J. Watt's name yet.
That's not a bad answer.
Like 2014, J.J. Watt.
Well, there was, yeah, I mean, what was it? 3 out of 5 years he won Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah. 2 out of those 5 years he was 20 and a half sacks.
Yeah. I think it's a good one.
Plus, I mean, especially that 1 year where it was like 20 batted passes, all the pressures and tackles for loss, plus the sacks. He had 5 touchdowns one season. 3 of them were receiving.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Bruce Jenner says a junkie. Why is that funny?
You know what?
Bruce
funny.
Jenner, she. He,
no, that's Caitlin. Caitlin is she. Bruce is he.
That's why I laughed.
Bruce was a gold medalist.
Sure.
Was he a decathlon athlete?
Sure.
Decathlon, I think.
Something with track and field.
He was doing things that no one did.
That's true.
And he continued that throughout his life.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know why he had to go there. We're talking about their athletic prowess. Kyle Drabek at the Woodlands dude was a monster.
Oh, yeah.
I heard some things about Kyle Drabek.
Yeah. I assume is what you heard, but came off a little entitled, probably because daddy was in Major League Baseball. But
they had a lefty pitcher who pitched at Texas who was a stud. I can't remember his name. He was really good.
I'm not remembering.
Jalen at Channelview, he got cooked mostly because he was a one-man team. Yeah, that wasn't a great football team. His dad was the coach there at Channelview. Kat Osterman, good call, man. I never saw her in person, but she was a freak. Bo Jackson's arm was a unicorn in baseball. He did have a huge arm. Went to high school with Rasheed Lewis. I bet you he was good. Deshaun Stevenson. Zach Thomas at Pampa, Texas. I knew a guy once who lived in Pampa, Texas. I worked with him at the golf course. It was his retirement job, and it was my high school job. It's out in West Texas.
Okay.
Yeah, Pampa, Texas, baby. Air Baytown, Jermaine Alford, Clint Sterner, Eli Robertson, Drew Tate, go Ganders. They were coached by Dick Olin. I never saw Clint play in high school. I did see Drew Tate play in high school. Drew Tate would break all the passing yard records. He was really good. Kendall Bryles single-handedly won a state championship sophomore year in high school. Usain Bolt, Michael Phelps. You saw them in person? You saw Bolt and Phelps in person?
They're jealous.
I'm calling BS on that one.
Yeah, so am I.
I'm calling BS on you, 7293. I don't think you saw Bolt and Phelps in person. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Pick Nolan Ryan in the 80s. I saw Nolan Ryan, but it was when he was with the Rangers. I went to a game in Arlington, and he was a Ranger. All right, let's go through these HRP listener lines here. James, who's your unicorn?
Yes, sir. I'm calling. I got 3 of them: Dale Murphy, George Brett, and I seen Shaq play when he was in high school in Germany.
Ooh, I bet you that was nice. Appreciate that.
Station over there.
Okay, appreciate your service very much. Tip my cap. Go out
to the.
Hopefully, you weren't the James that I lost tickets for earlier.
Yeah, that'd be
hopefully
bad.
That was a different James.
It's letting down our military, Joe. Yeah, yeah. Back out to the HRP listener line. Alex, who's your unicorn?
All right, so I played against in high school. I played against Rashard Lewis in Elsick. I'm not sure if y'all had him out there, but I saw him. He ripped our point guard at center court then threw it off the glass on a 360 dunk, and it was just out of this world. It was his senior year.
Sheesh.
I was just like, oh, my God. But, yeah, he was getting drafted out of high school.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's cool. What I got.
I was so sad when the Rockets didn't draft him. They had those three first-rounders and didn't draft him, and he slipped all the way to the second round.
Who did they take instead?
There was 2 years where they had three first, so I always confuse them, but I think it was like Bryce Drew.
That was the
guy.
Who was the third one?
Maybe Michael Dickerson?
That sounds right.
Remember they had like, they had 2 years in like a 4 or 5 year span where they had three first. So sometimes I confuse.
I think you're right on that timeline though.
Was it Drew, the Turkish guy, and and Dickerson?
That sounds right.
That's correct.
I hit them all?
It looks like it. I see Drew.
Boom. There we go. Jeremy Branham's right.
Dickerson and...
The Turkish guy.
Yeah, the Turkish guy. Mirsad Turkin.
He might not even have been Turkish. His last name just might be Turkin.
No. Yeah, he's from Turkey. He's from Turkey.
Well, his name was Turkin, so he's Turkish.
No, it's Turkin from Turkey.
Okay, good. Yeah,
you got them all.
Yeah, there you go. I was so mad they didn't draft Rashard Lewis because he's like the kid. And he turned out to be a good pro, too.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Really good player. Better than all three of those guys.
Definitely.
Way better than all three of those bums. All right, let's go back out to the HRP listener. I hope this one's a good one because you're going to wrap it up for us, Ira. Ira, who's your unicorn?
Yeah, so mine was running back out of San Antonio, Gerard Douglas. I mean, dude was so good, man. That team around the time in the mid-90s, they played against my high school, Eisenhower, here in Houston. And that was the game where they interceded having to put the extra inning. I mean, overtime in high school football because the game ended on a 27-27 tie. Yeah. But that dude was phenomenal, man. He kind of reminded me like a Eric Metcalf type running back.
Sheesh. Sounds like a stud. Yeah, they invented overtime for him because they got tired of ending games based on who won the penetrations.
Yep. It's not a way to win.
It's a terrible way to win. No one's winning off that. Not reading that one.
Disappointed Jeremy found a way to put that back in the conversation.
Had a class with Andre Johnson and Jeremy Shockey at the U. Like, that tandem in college.
How many of those classes do they go to, though?
Especially Shockey.
This junkie was probably doing their homework. he was doing their test for him. That's how I knew
imagine.
Him. I saw Largo get banned three times in one day on 97.5 Twitch, Unicorn Twitch. Randy Johnson of the Dome. That's a good one. Fred and AJ on Houston Sports Radio. That's a great call. They were the best, man. TJ Ford for Willow Ridge was the best point guard I had ever seen. I imagine. I never saw him play in high school, but I have heard stories. And then we'll end on the very best unicorn that's ever existed. Case Keenum.
Oh, yeah.
Statistically, the greatest quarterback in college football history. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. The numbers prove it. Go Cougs. Mm-hmm. Great text. There was a few of those on there, too. It wasn't just the one. A lot of people were saying it. Sports Illustrated was saying it. Multiple junkies were saying it as well. Good talk. Good conversation. 713-780-3776. It's time for us. We're consistent here. We're consistent, Jeremy and Joe. We don't just bang on the Texans when they lose. We always bang on the Texans. Don't ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. Where were some areas you were not pleased with the Texans in their win on Sunday? D'Amico's going to be so mad at us. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN in the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Jeremy and Joe, he's Joe, I'm Jeremy. 713-780-3776. Junkies are saying great things about us on YouTube. Very kind. Don't ignore in victory what you win in defeat, Joe. What's
It's always fun to win.
It is fun to win. But we're consistent. We don't knock the Texans only when they lose. D'Amico was saying that yesterday. Oh, it's like it's great when you win, it's bad when you lose. No, it's bad for you always with us around.
I think it's two really simple things in this game. Red zone, not good enough in this one. You got to score more touchdowns. And multiple opportunities, three opportunities on the 20-yard line and in. Obviously, that's the red zone. Duh, Joe. didn't convert to touchdowns. Need to do more of that, and also the short yardage running game. Still not good enough for me. The first field goal, you have a third and one. You get stuffed in the backfield. Those problems didn't seem to change enough for me in this game. That's still a long-term concern, like especially for the short running game. Like seeing how well they blocked in other situations, you know, protecting C.J. Stroud, some of the other running plays, very positive. But when the 49ers knew that the Texans had to get 1 yard, it's not good enough.
Yeah.
That to me is my biggest takeaway from this game.
Yeah, the short yardage stuff. I mean, I don't know if they have a great short yardage runner to piggyback off your point. Mm-hmm. Like Chubb's okay, like getting a few dirty yards here and there, but he's not. He's older. He's banged up. All of that stuff. Don't ignore in victory what you win in defeat. 713-780-3776. 26 points on 475 yards is disappointing to me. Like that's the, mm-hmm. you put up 475 yards. You need at least a 30 burger. At least a 30 burger. They were 1 for 5 in the red zone. Scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, like, it's not good enough.
No. Like, you're not going to win a lot of games doing that. Like, getting in the red zone 5 times is terrific. Scoring 1 touchdown in those 5 red zone trips is something that – they'll be the first ones to tell you that. DeMeco was on with Rock and Roll and John Harris. Like, we got to do better there. Like, they'll be the first ones to tell you. I thought they took 2 bad timeouts offensively, like in bad spots. Like, you picked up a first down and you burn a timeout. Like, that's the offensive operation that – while much better, mm-hmm. still has some flaws. Like, still has some areas of weakness where you got to be better at that. C.J. Stroud had a great game, Joe. Fantastic game. I thought early in the game he was a little errant, but then he was able to find his groove and was really, really good after that. So, hard to be critical of C.J. Stroud after the game he had there. Do you remember the George Kittle touchdown?
Yeah.
Do you remember how Kalen Bullock played that ball?
No.
Terrible. Terrible, terrible coverage. Like, there's no way that George Kittle should have even touched that football. Like, Kalen Bullock, I think he got handcuffed. I think he was, A, I'm going for the ball. B, I'm going to deliver a big blow. And he kind of got stuck in the middle and doesn't make the play on the ball and doesn't even make contact with George Kittle. Like, it was an easy play to, A, break up. And then if, A, you're not going to break it up, B, deliver a blow with a tight end over the middle in the end zone. And he didn't either one of those things. It was kind of a disappointing play for Kalen Bullock for me.
Yeah, because looking at it back now, I mean, I guess in the moment, all I'm thinking about there is how great of a catch it is from George Kittle. But you're right. I mean, Bullock's coming in over the top and trying to get the interception there and doesn't read it correctly.
No, it was a bad play.
Like, he could have – he didn't take a good angle on it if he was going for the pick because he ends up being even with George Kittle as he's catching the ball. So in the moment, it looked like a better play from Bullock, but when you rewatch, like, a closer version of it, it's not a good play there.
Kittle should have never touched it.
No.
At all. It wasn't a good play, but whatever, you win, right? Will Anderson's offside plays.
Yeah.
This is becoming a little bit of a habit. It's becoming a little bit of a trend with Will Anderson. It actually kept that drive alive. They eventually scored on it.
Yeah, because he's trying to be
off the field.
He's trying to be so aggressive with the snap count.
And fine
time
line.
So perfect. It is. It's kind of like Tunsil in a way, honestly. Like Tunsil was trying his best to protect his quarterback, but he was getting false starts. A lot. Like, that would be something for Anderson that I would imagine they're talking to him pretty aggressively about.
That's something they have to clean up. Could cost them in a big game. Penalties are still an issue.
Agreed.
8 penalties in this game for 55 yards. I pulled the numbers. They're actually doing better with penalties this year than they had in the previous 2 years under DeMeco, so I guess that's a positive. They're 12th in penalties per game. Last 2 years, they've been top 5. They're averaging a little less than 7.5 penalties a game, which is still a high number. I'm surprised it's 12th in the league. It feels like 7.5 would be top 10, mm-hmm. but it's 12th. But they're 8th in yards per game because of penalties. Like, hey, let's get out of the top 10 there. Let's improve that a little bit. They give up 61 yards per penalty per game with penalty yardage.
Yeah, so they're mostly big penalties.
Yes.
That's worse.
Probably PIs and things mm-hmm. like that. And then the last one
late
that
hits,
I had. Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, which, you know, is easy. Yep. Kickoffs weren't great. Fairbairn has not been good really at all on this dynamic kickoff stuff. He's had a few here and there, but overall he has not been good kicking the ball off, and the coverage hasn't been very good there either.
Yeah, that was the other, I had that note too. I think honestly I would say both on both sides of it, kickoff and kickoff return, I don't think the Texans are necessarily excelling at right now. But it does feel like you're giving the other team very good field position. We're seeing that happen a lot this year. Some teams are not doing this dynamic kickoff return well, and I think it goes back to maybe it's compounded a little bit with the end of the Seattle game and not being able to kick the ball out of bounds like he was supposed to, or just executed poorly. But yeah, he's not good at it. And the other teams are getting way too good at field position.
Yeah. It's
and like it's great. Like you have this great defense, but when you're giving people the ball on the 35-40 yard line, mm-hmm. you're just making life that much harder for yourself.
Yeah, I can't understand why he's not good at it. Like it's just I don't know. You need an Aussie punter or something. Aussie punters can put it wherever they want. They play catch with their feet. Junkie on the text line, kickoffs. Keith from LA, why is D'Amico Ryan so sensitive when it comes to asking him questions about the Texans? Well, D'Amico was asked what he felt about outside noise, and then he gave his answer about it. He didn't go out of his way to answer that. It's not like he went on a rant about it. He was asked, what do you think about outside noise? And he said, we don't think anything of it, which probably not saying the truth there. I think he was misguided in terms of negativity and positivity mm-hmm. in terms of the stories and talk about he and his team. But I don't think he was like one of these rants where he's like, oh, I'm going to get the media back. He was directly asked in his NFL mandated interview time about outside noise.
Yeah, I do think what you said yesterday is still holds true that it was they used it as motivation.
I do think that.
And I think that's why he was asked about it. It's because of the fact that it came up from CJ. It came up from D'Amico. Without the media being mm-hmm. there in the locker room.
Yeah.
So it's, yes, I think he was a little misguided with it and still comes off a little soft, but they clearly were thinking about it.
Yeah, I think so.
In some capacity.
Yeah. The biggest problem I had from this game, says a junkie, was the logo on the helmet. The old English H.
You don't like it?
A junkie said that.
Junkie doesn't like it? I like it.
I'm not a huge fan of it, actually.
Really?
No.
I like the better version of it is the red and black version.
Okay.
That's in the red zone sometimes?
I don't mind it as a secondary logo, but I don't ever like it as the primary logo.
Do you like the jerseys in general?
No.
The new ones?
Mm-mm.
No?
No. You know what I wish it was on these, like, the what are they, the Color Rushes, City Editions or whatever? Mm-hmm. You know what logo I wish they had? I wish they had the H-Town Blue Toro. That might be my favorite logo.
Oh, I do like that a lot.
That might be my favorite logo.
Yeah, because it's on the jersey. It looks nice.
Yeah. I wish they would use that more. I'm a big fan of that.
I'm with that. We'll probably get new jerseys next year.
D'Amico cried about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came off a little sensitive about it. Okay. Media was upset about it, too, though.
Well, yeah, it goes both ways. Like the media has been extra sensitive about it, I think, in some situations.
He goes,
but
D'Amico goes, D'Amico's like, yeah, you know, whenever we're good, you give us good news, bad stuff, you're mostly negative, all that. And me's like, whoa, we've given you a bunch of praise, D'Amico. I think there was sensitivity stacked on sensitivity there.
Yes.
That was hilarious to me. I loved it so much. I was a big fan of it.
Yeah.
I hope it continues.
I mean, I knew you were, as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, we're talking about this today. I was like, this is right up Jeremy's alley.
You know what I think my favorite part about whenever the media goes back at him after saying that was that Landry was like, hey, you don't think we've given you any praise? And then DJ's like, yeah, I was about to say that. Like, he chimed in on top of it. Like, yeah, me too.
I was just surprised to hear, like, just the even, like, the clapping back a little bit surprised me a little bit.
I don't mind the clap. Which way? Because, I mean, I think D'Amico clapped back initially.
Yes.
And then the media clapped back at his clapback.
I was surprised about the clapback from the media.
Okay.
That they challenged him that way.
I like that they did.
Yeah, you
have to. I think that was a fair challenge, too.
Yeah.
Because the most of the narrative around D'Amico has been positive. I think D'Amico was looking at it more from a last week point of view and didn't really articulate that, as opposed to like his 3 years as the Texans head coach.
Yeah, I think the Kaylee stuff is getting to him a little bit, too.
Probably.
Because whether he made the hire or not, it's a reflection of him as a coach, what Nick Kaylee's doing.
Yeah.
And everyone wants Nick Kaylee fired again. Even though last year we were all right about Bobby. Mm-hmm. Fired, so.
Are the Texans in a good spot?
Football.
Cal McNair had a couple of sound bites to the media today. He thinks the Texans are in a good spot. Is he right? 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. Jeremy and Joe. 713-780-3776. Are the Texans in a good spot, Joe? Cal McNair talking about the Texans today, some charity event, some fundraiser, I don't know. When Cal McNair speaks, we listen. Cal McNair, though, said, Joe, he likes where the Houston Texans are.
It's really important, you know, as we move forward through the season, because each week it changes. And this week's message is that he spends a lot of time internally talking to the team. It's different from last week's. And so it's interesting to see how that evolves over time. And I think we're in a really good spot as a team. Sometimes, you know, when you start 0-3, teams can split apart. Ours didn't. The team has been really strong. He's been really strong. And we're really happy with where we are and what's in front of us.
All right, what's he talking about initially there? He spent a lot of time internally talking to the team, and that changes by the week, and he didn't do it last week. What?
No idea.
What are you talking about, Mr. Cal?
I think his whole takeaway is that our team still likes each other.
Which has been a narrative around the Texans that they don't like each other. It's been reported, or at least gossiped about, that the locker room isn't as ideal as people think.
Yeah.
I think that they're getting in on the D'Amico at the media.
So, I think that's all he's really saying there, for the most part, is like we could have collapsed on ourselves and fallen apart and infighting.
So it's not a playoff picture
thing. No, but then I think he kind of also leans into that. Like, I think he starts talking about, like, we stayed together, but the way he ends that, talking about what's in front of them.
Yeah.
He's talking about being in a good spot.
He specifically says, I'm happy where we're at.
Yeah.
When you're 3-4.
But maybe he's talking about, it's hard to know because it's Cal.
Yeah, very true.
And like, it's hard to read Cal, right? I don't speak Cal.
Hey, give everyone a hug over there.
You see? Joe could be right. Where he's talking about the mentality of the team, like they're in a good headspace, because that is a thing. Like we talk about the headspace of a team, the headspace of a player. So that could be what Cal's talking about as opposed to the standings, right? Like I think it's in play.
If it wasn't Cal, I would agree. Like I don't know. I don't really trust Cal to evaluate headspace.
I don't think he's evaluating it. I think he's being told by D'Amico that things are okay.
Fair.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, he kept the team together. They're tight. You know,
D'Amico told him that I kept the team together.
Because Cal's just a puppet. Like Cal talks about what Hannah says and what Nick and D'Amico say.
Yeah.
I don't think he has like thoughts.
No, there's nothing going on upstairs. The lights aren't always on up there.
Like I don't know if it's gonna be one of the clips we play, but like Brian was pointing out earlier before the show today how every single time Hannah says something, Cal then starts his follow-up sentence with the same words.
Oh, let's listen to the next one then, because this I think you're going to get a kick out of this. Sarge was one of the media members out there. I think it was Sarge, DJ, and Jonathan Alexander. Sarge asked the McNairs, which I don't know why this is a question, but Sarge asked the McNairs how they knew they made the right hire with D'Amico Ryans.
It's easy.
It was easy. We knew him as a player and had studied him in college and had watched him in his coaching career, and he just stepped into it. And, of course, you never know, you know, what's going to happen, and we're just really glad to see where we are now.
I think a big testament to D'Amico is how he's kept the team focused. That is really hard to do when you're losing. And so that's a testament to him being head coach and being able to keep the building together and all the guys focused on what's important. I think that's incredible.
There you go. There was gossip that the locker room was starting to crumble.
You hear the talking points.
There was gossip the locker room was starting to crumble, and Hannah's like, nope, we're still strong foundationally because of one D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah.
The first 3 seconds of that clip is hilarious.
Yeah. It's just, he just repeats her.
It's easy.
I wonder if she intentionally says like a one-word answer to kind of spur him in the right direction.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. It's like a cue.
Yeah, it's like a cue. Okay, this is where your answer needs to go.
And then you can ramble about it, and then I'll clean up your mess at the end.
Yes, exactly.
It's easy. It's easy, Cal. She kind of looks up at him. It's easy. You talk about easy. It was easy to hire him. But also, the question's a weird one for me.
There's intent behind it, I think.
What's the intent?
That people are questioning D'Amico being the head coach of the Texans, and Sarge wants...
Man, I didn't put that much into that. I thought Sarge was just glazing.
No, I actually think that is true.
Yeah, he wants to... He's every question has a purpose, and I think that's the purpose of the question. The only reason why you ask that at this point is because you think there's a narrative being made elsewhere about D'Amico's status of being the head coach and why he's the coach of this team, so you want to hear what they think about
it. You got squabbling media members there.
Yeah,
you have media member thinking at one thing and another squabbling media member thinking the other. It's definitely one of those two. It could just be glazing. It could be... the motive. I think both are in play. Hard to know the intent of a man without knowing the man.
That was very deep, Jerome.
Some call me very wise. I've been called wise by a couple of people.
A couple
of people call me wise.
Two or three. Is that accurate?
So if Cal is talking about the standings, though, I think he's wrong about being in a good spot. Now, the Texans are only a game and a half back in the wild card race for that seventh spot. They're 3-4. Kansas City's 5-3. Jacksonville's a game ahead of them, too. They're in eighth place. I was playing around with the Athletic has this little like playoff calculator thing. So if you can actually go in and pick the team and like, hey, we win this game and like, what do the odds do? The Texans, as of right now, according to The Athletic, their chances of making the playoffs are currently sitting at 18%. 18%. Okay. Not great odds. Less than one out of every five, right? The Texans would have to win 1, 2, 3, 4 games in a row before they flip their odds to higher than 50%.
Yeah.
So before the Texans can get better than a coin flip chance to make the playoffs, they have to beat Denver, they have to beat Jacksonville, they have to win in Tennessee, they have to beat Buffalo at home before this calculator has them as an odds-on favorite to make the playoffs.
I mean, if you look at who are the seven teams in the playoffs right now, I think we all feel pretty comfortable about what five of them are for sure going to make it. Indianapolis, New England, Denver, Buffalo, Kansas City. So the two teams that would be likely miss the playoffs here would be Pittsburgh and the Chargers. Pittsburgh, I think, that's a one division team in the playoffs, one representative in the playoffs. So it's either them or Baltimore. And then you have the Chargers left. Like, it wouldn't, there is a, if you told me that week 17 on the road in Los Angeles was make or break for the Houston Texans to make the playoffs, that game versus the Chargers, it wouldn't shock me. Because I can see the Chargers coming down to earth a little bit.
Yeah, I thought they were going to, but then they've been able to keep their head above water. Like, they're looking okay.
Because they're just kind of winning and losing.
And like, the AFC's, like, dominating the NFC, too. Like, yeah. The head-to-heads, AFC-NFC, AFC teams are killing them, which is not good for the Texans.
No.
They're chasing. And, like, you want to, you know, obviously try to get some help along the way.
And the Chargers are getting a little bit healthier.
So it's four games in a row that they would have to win to jump to a better than 50% chance to make the playoffs.
That's not good.
In order for them to jump to a better than 50% chance to win the division, which obviously is more daunting and like, okay, you don't have to win the division to make the playoffs, but you're currently 3.5 games back there already. Colts are 7-1, you're 3-4. You would have to win 7 games in a row before you become the odds-on favorite to win the AFC South. That's the hole the Texans are in. So I don't agree. If Cal's talking about their spot in the standing, liking that, then I respectfully disagree.
Yeah,
never quit.
But he does have a fighter spirit.
Never quit, but they're not in a good spot.
No.
They're in a bad spot.
It is funny, though, that the talking point's there. They know what's going on.
I mean, they've won, you know, they've won 3 of their last 4.
They're hot.
They're hot. Yeah.
They're on fire.
Can't do it.
They're 3 of last 4. They've won 3 games in the last 5 weeks, Joe.
That doesn't mean
3 of their last 4. So DeMeco versus Houston media. It's I love it. I'm a big fan of it. It made me think, though. What are the best coach, player versus media moments of all time? What are the best crash outs to the media that we've ever seen? 713-780-3776. Disclaimer before we get to that, HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll, they're the best. Mike Holla, U of H class of 1990, go Cougs. He's over there. He's running HR&P. Chris Fisher's over there as well. They have great people. You're going to love the people at HR&P. But HR&P has been protecting the interests of businesses for 25 years now. Can you believe that? HR&P provides comprehensive human capital management, including HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, all of it. They're also just a great ally to have on your side. They're always up to date with what's going on in the business world. They tell you what you need to know. Great ally. HRP is going to work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. Nothing cookie cutter about HRP. You're not reading off a menu. You need a little help, a lot of help. HRP is going to create a plan for whatever you and your business need. It's customized. Their customer service, second to none, too. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side. You'll be calling someone familiar with you, familiar with your company. We use HR&P here at Gal. I can attest to that customer service. It's fantastic. Let HR&P take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call, 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.